It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
I am a illiterate that has to rely on my wife.
It's interesting.
Because I'm a man, that's how he relates to me. Whereas I really need him to relate to me as if I was the way he would a woman. Emotionally, I am a woman. Like, every part of me is a woman.
God, I relate to that. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. 877-365-3636. That's our phone number. You can AOL instant message us at Mike O-W-J-F-K. I'm just thinking about being a woman. Emails can come to O'Mara at WJFKFM.com and online go to MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Not every part.
See all the buzz babes. How many are we going to have in the studio on Friday?
I'm looking at 7, and it's only Wednesday.
Wow. Also get podcasts, instant feedback, our photos, and the Daily Buzz. And speaking of that, we had to chop Buzz off at the knees in that last break.
Ouch.
Let's get our last segment of Buzz, and then we are going to talk to the one, the only, Dreama Denver, or the Widow Gilligan, as we like to call her.
Widow Denver, yeah.
First sex news part, duh.
Duh.
There 2. I go, 0. Speaking French again.
Duh.
Gropers and grinders have run amok on New York subways.
Wow.
Grinders rub up against people in a clearly sexual way, and the subway car is often too crowded for the victim to get away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Mike. Yeah, Rob.
Gropers do as their name implies, usually but not always, to women. Quoting a victim named Judy, they mush themselves in back of you, and you're like, ew.
It was Judy Tenuta.
Yes.
I think, isn't there another word for it called frotchering?
I haven't heard that
term. I believe that's
term.
Like the old English term for it, yeah.
I've not heard that term. There's the rubbing.
I hear some frotchering right now.
Yeah, one of my exes got frotchered in San Francisco one time on a cable car.
Really?
Yeah, I remember it.
Really?
It was, yeah, I mean, we were on a cable car, and she was in the back of the cable car, and I was like, it was packed, and there were two guys in between us, and I noticed this guy was next to her, and then she kind of looked, and she said, I want to get off at the next stop. I was like, what's going on? I want to get off at the next stop. She didn't tell me. Maybe this is why the marriage didn't last.
Right.
She didn't tell me when we were on the cable car where I could have grabbed the guy by the scruff of the neck. She told me after we got off that he was up, you know, and with all the motion of the cable car, he would kind of like go.
Yeah.
And that happens a lot. It happens a lot, Katie. Katie's in here right now.
He got off
so we
the
have
last...
an audience for all this. She's not on microphone. She's pushed the microphone away. Uh-huh. But she's doing things like holding her hands up to her face.
She's implied she doesn't care to comment.
Katie, have you ever been frotchered in your life? Has that ever happened to you, like on the subway or on a crowded bus?
Has this ever happened to you?
Or by a part-timer?
Well, of course. You've seen me.
There. Good answer. Very good.
Quoting a victim named Judy, they mush themselves and you're like, you. A new survey of women in Manhattan found that 63% of them had been rubbed or groped, with 10% saying it was out-and-out sexual assault. 69% get on the train pretty sure it's going to happen. The MTA is suggesting that victims either call the police or speak to a friendly transit employee.
Do you want to hear something that's similarly gross?
Sure.
A stripper at Mons Venus once told me that, you know, they do the whole lap it dance thing at Mons Venus.
This is the place in Tampa?
This is Tampa, Florida. Mm-hmm. One of the legendary strip joints in America.
Very nice.
And one of the ladies, one of the performers down there informed me that they were having a problem with foreign gentlemen that were coming in for their lap dances.
Yes.
And all they had on were nylon running shorts.
Oh.
How gross is that?
Well, they were prepared.
Okay.
I'm kidding.
Okay, Johnny Hedonista.
I'm kidding, of course.
Yes, no,
getting their
came.
Money's worth,
isn't
certainly.
That, is that nasty,
they're
though?
Not from here.
That is that is gross, isn't it?
They got off at the last stop.
Oh, but I'm saying, yes, sirree, Buzz Burbank, where is it? It's over here.
Did she mention what land they
no,
might have come from?
But I'm thinking maybe... I'm not sure. I don't want to throw any ethnicity
Canadians.
Under the group.
Something that ends with Stan.
Eskimos, Rob.
Of
they
course.
Were primarily Eskimos.
Well,
no, I
think they
I don't remember.
Be furry shorts,
it was
then.
A variety of different men from the area. I think I want to say maybe certain countries in the Middle East, but I'm not quite sure.
See.
I'm not sure.
You won't see any ads in London subway for gay tourism in San Francisco.
I am a gay American.
San Francisco apparently doesn't need to advertise its gay appeal.
Delirious. Absolutely deliriously happy.
But New Orleans, Boston, Washington, D.C., Las Vegas, and New York apparently do need to advertise their gayness, so those places do have gay tourism posters up in the London Underground. Oh, and so does South Carolina. And some South Carolinians are pissed about that.
Oh, no.
Their poster reads, South Carolina, so gay.
What?
From that's great, South Carolina. It's not just golf courses.
It says from plantations to the Civil War, from golf to gay beaches.
I don't know what this is about. Hold on.
The guy behind the campaigns resigned, but some South Carolinians are protesting, some of them perhaps too much.
I don't like them people saying this is a gay state.
South of the border, indeed.
Andrew, what are you calling about? It doesn't say anything here. Oh, frottering. Is that what it is, Andrew?
Hey, the people that do that, Mike, are called fratterists.
Fratterists. Okay. I wasn't sure what the term was.
That was a stamp collector.
And how did you know this, Andrew?
I'm doing it right now.
Okay, thank you for the call. We appreciate that. All right, Buzzy.
There was another nude protest yesterday involving attractive young women. This time it was outside the British Embassy in Latvia, where some animal rights activists were protesting the bearskin hats worn by the Queen's guards.
Oh, is that really what they're made of?
Yeah.
Those big furry hats?
Bearskin.
Cool.
Now you know.
Yes, they're worn by the Queen's guards. We have the bearskin. Yes. Also, babies have pictures taken on the bearskin rug.
Well, but this has the face of a bear on it.
There's no need to understand. It's a bear. It's a tradition.
Without the chin strap, the hat is coming off.
We'll go kill the foxes, then we'll go get a bear, and then we'll turn it into a hat.
I love your impression of Queen Elizabeth.
Thank you very much.
It's about time somebody protested the Queen's fur.
Bring me my tea and with some three fingers of gin.
Who are you?
Queen Elizabeth. Very nice to be on your program.
Welcome anytime.
How
ma'am.
Do you do, boss?
It's good to see you, madam.
Very nice to see you.
That is a magnificent frock.
This is when you go to commercial break. I urge all of you to back out of the studio whilst looking at me.
May I?
That is what we refer to in the Buckingham Palace as protocol.
May I be so bold as to fratter you?
Yes, please. Yes, you will fratter me as I'm wearing my blue frock. Love to be frattered in my frock.
Frattery will get you anywhere.
Thank you very much.
And some rather attractive female PETA protesters were arrested in Sydney, Australia the other day for their nude protest of the alleged cruelty of Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Yep.
They clucked and chanted, "Chicks agree, boycott KFC." Mm-hmm. They locked their naked selves inside a poultry cage before police put them into larger cages downtown.
They were naked?
They were.
Were they hot?
Yes, they were in both of these protests.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, nude protests. I'm behind him 1,000%.
Hey, there you go. It's Katie Jujini.
And someday all you'll need to get your Viagra fix is to have some watermelon. Researchers at Texas A&M are trying to get citrulline, the Viagra-like chemical in watermelon rind, to also appear in the juicy pink fruit inside.
I will not be able to look at Rob until this story is concluded.
I'm right here.
I know you're over there.
How are you, Mike, my friend?
Thank you, Rob. I'm not looking at you.
Scientists say they'll need to spend a lot more time on the breeding process. That's what she said.
Viagra.
These stories and more at MikeOMaraShow.com. Coming up in the Hollywood Buzz, time to cool off with some Elton John ice cream.
Yum.
And in the final buzz, gasoline by the half gallon.
Oh, boy.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Mike O'Mara Show.
You know that had to come next, gasoline by the half gallon.
Sure.
All right, cue the music, Rob. Ladies and gentlemen, you know this theme. Mm-hmm. What a classic show it was.
One of the best.
And now we've been talking about her all morning, I was going to say. All afternoon.
All morning. Well, morning, too. All
please, welcome to the show, Dreama Denver. Dreama, how are you?
I'm good. Is this Mike?
This is Mike, and we've got Buzz here, and we've got probably the biggest pop culture aficionado on the show is Mr. Rob Spiewak. He's right over here.
Hi, Dreama.
That's what I heard at the top of the show. Hi, Rob. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Dreama.
Dreama, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
I will ask you, and with no disrespect intended, how goes life without Gilligan?
Oh, well, very, very different. Pretty sad. It's been hard to get through. I don't want to bring the show down.
That's all right. You know what? You have every right to that. You lose somebody. I mean, I didn't realize until we were researching you got to turn that music off, Rob.
Okay,
it's driving
me
nuts. We didn't realize until we researched. 1977, that's when you met Bob Denver?
Yes.
Wow. Right. That's a lengthy Hollywood-style romance that you had there.
By anybody's standards, not just Hollywood. That's a long marriage, you know?
Do you think that that it lasted because you picked up and moved to West Virginia? You think that's what did it?
I was going to say, I hope I can keep up with you guys. I'm up here in the hills, and we're much slower paced.
Now, do you still own your radio station up there, right?
Yes, I do.
All right. Well, if you we're always looking for new affiliate streams.
Of course.
Would it take to get the Mike O'Mara Show on Little Buddy Radio?
I don't care where the station's located, how small the station is. It doesn't matter. All affiliates are great affiliates. That's the motto of this show.
That's really, the local station is located in southern West Virginia, and there's also an online station that you can listen to.
Oh, very good. So
what are the call letters?
WGAG. No jokes.
WGH.
Gag.
I don't want to hear the jokes.
Gag radio. All right.
No, I knew you were going to do
well,
that.
Well, I just said
no,
it was no, gag. No. It spells gag.
As in comedy.
But no, no, no. But we looked at it like, well, first of all, it's really hard to find call letters. I'm sure you guys know that when you're searching.
Mm-hmm.
And the first G was for Gilligan, and the second G was for Maynard G. Krebs.
Wow. Oh, okay. It's kind of a stretch there, Dream. I got to give you, you know,
well,
but
you got to do better than gag radio. Come on.
Gag radio. Well, I mean, there's certain formats, I think, that actually would work quite well with those call letters, but you know, in fact, you might be able to sell them someday. That's the way that type of thing
like
normally works.
A porn format?
Do you still feel? Well, we're going to get to the whole porn. I have some questions about Gilligan's Island and porn and all that. Do you still feel people get excited about the show? I mean, there's several shows that you know, still to this day, even people a lot younger than me kind of remember the whole Gilligan's Island deal.
Oh yeah, now I don't know how old you are. How old are you?
I'm 49.
Oh, you're old enough to remember Gilligan's
Island. I remember Gilligan. Sure, I watched it on TV at home.
Now tell me, you grew up with Gilligan's Island, right?
I did. I swear to God. I mean, I watched Gilligan's Island. I did not watch all the TV shows that were, you know, the hits of the day. But for whatever the time was and the timing of it, I think Gilligan was, especially when it went into syndication, was on in the afternoons, wasn't it? On weekday afternoons?
About 4 o'clock. We, you know,
see, that's why. I watched it when I came home from school.
I was
addicted. That's exactly what we heard all the time. I ran home from school every day to watch Gilligan's Island. Mm-hmm. So generation after generation. And I think the reason the show holds up is because you can't put it in a particular time period, you know?
Yeah.
There are no cars. There are no phones. There's no furniture.
Not a single luxury.
Not a single luxury.
You were they were on a deserted island. How could they have luxuries?
That's right. You know, so when you look at it, it looks, you know, if you filmed it today, it would look the same way as it did in 1963 when they started it. You know?
So let me, just for a little background here, you get together, you meet Bob Denver. This is, you meet him in 77. This is obviously well past the whole Gilligan's Island thing, but he's made quite a living, you know, on the name of Gilligan, obviously, as he did. Nobody did it better than he did. And you meet him, and you guys decide to move to West Virginia. Why was it West Virginia?
Well, no, that was a long ways down the road. We spent a lot of time in Hawaii and the Rocky Mountains and all these wonderful places first.
That's because you were hippies, isn't it, Dreama? You were hippies. You were pot-smoking hippies, weren't you?
No. Bob always said that we were gypsies.
Gypsies.
That sounds better.
Just like you, Buzz.
That's right.
They were gypsies just like you.
The reason he did that was because of the character Maynard G. Krebs, he was always accused of having started the hippie movement.
Now Maynard G. Krebs, if you can give our listening, and me, because that actually is before my time, I do not remember Dobie Gillis. I don't. Now, you're laughing, do you?
Because I do remember.
Oh, you do?
You don't remember? You never from reruns?
How in the name, Rob? I don't live in front of the magic box like you do. I swear to God, I have no.
There's
Dobie
room
Gillis,
for you there.
There is no frame of reference for me and Dobie Gillis, and I think I represent the vast majority of our
Dobie
listening
is
audience.
Such a great show,
Dobie Gillis. So please to hip us to the
Thank
character.
You, Rob. It was a wonderful show.
All right, and I'm not trying to put it down. No. I just want a little you know, refresher. What was his character on Dobie Gillis' show?
He played a beatnik.
Yes,
named Maynard G. Krebs.
A beatnik.
And when he was researching the part, after he got the part, he was 24. When he got the part,
right?
He kind of lived in coffee houses all over the Los Angeles area to see what beatniks were like,
right?
And took that, of course, into the character. And he was the breakout character of that show, kind of like I think you could compare him to Fonzie.
Yeah.
And
I
Happy
agree.
Days.
And that show,
maybe Kramer even.
That show in its day was, I mean, was a smash, right? That was that was an amazing
and a great
smash.
Show.
It was. It was very. It was sophisticated for its day too. Nowadays, obviously, it wouldn't
you
be.
Know, Buzz watched it every single. Buzz was there actually. Buzz celebrated his 50th anniversary when he was watching that show.
You laugh, but that show also gave us Tuesday Weld and Warren Beatty.
Tuesday Weld, mother of Melanie Griffith, right?
That's
no.
Right.
No?
No. Tuesday Weld, she was like 17 when she did that show.
Yeah.
She was
beautiful
young and
too.
Really popular and very beautiful.
Really hot, yeah.
You know, here's
Warren
the thing.
Warren Beatty doesn't claim the show. You're not going to read too much in any of his bios about the fact that he was in the first year of Dobie Gillis. Right.
Well, you hear the whole thing about it. We've had discussions with many different actors that have come on this show. When you talk about serial television, and when you're a character on TV, and you go one of two ways, and I always use the example of Warner Klemper, Colonel Klink, who came on our old show, the Don and Mike show, years ago, and wanted to be not really known as Colonel Klink, kind of didn't want to play in the sandbox when we were talking about Klink. Whereas Bob Denver, he understood the way that the system worked, that, you know, we knew him. It's like going to a concert when you see your favorite band. Mm-hmm. You want to see him play the hits.
Play the hits.
And Bob Denver got that. As a matter of fact, he, you know, he really knew that, that his audience wanted that, and he gave it to him. And I thought that was kind of a deal. Did he ever in private kind of go, oh, Christ, I got to put on that sailor's hat again, and I got to go to another convention. Jesus, help me, please.
Well, I tell you what, when he was a young actor, after Gilligan was over, he was about 33. Mm-hmm. And like any actor, he wanted to play different parts. He wanted to stretch. He wanted to stretch is the word they always use, you know?
Right.
And I think he railed, I think they all, the whole cast actually railed against being typecast in this certain thing. But as the years went by, he really came to understand that, that this show meant so much to people, and generation after generation had grown up with it, and they loved him, and they loved all the castaways. They loved the show. It meant, you know, we used to get a lot of letters at bobdenver.com talking about from people who had, like, really bad childhoods. They were beaten or their parents were drunks, and they said that Gilligan's Island was the only half hour they had where they could escape all that.
So, it was such a great show for kids. It really was. I mean, it was anybody, but really, as somebody who was a kid when that show was on, it was a little escape, you know? Because kids think of it as, the adults look at it as this, I would call it the classic screwball comedy.
Right?
But when you're a kid, you're looking at it and you're going, hey, you know, look what they did with coconuts.
Yeah.
Look what the professor did. I thought it was always very I never processed all the, you know, the suspending disbelief kind of thing, like, oh, they could get off that island in 5 seconds, you know? Mr. Howell could have gotten them off that island just with his money alone. That could have worked
out. I have
that
actually read pieces where they draw amazing, really intellectual parallels about society in Gilligan's Island, about how the entire country was represented on that island, where it has the working man of the professor, the show business element of Ginger, the farming community is represented by
Ginger. By show business, a little more than the show business element.
You know,
Ginger.
There was even, I forget what newspaper it was in, but after 9/11, there was an article which Bob just laughed at because, again, Gilligan's Island was being drawn into it. But there was an article about how Gilligan's Island represented everything the Taliban was against and how upsetting that was.
Jesus.
Okay. Wow.
Wow, that's quite a stretch right there.
How much fun.
I read it. I actually saw it. I didn't just hear about it. I actually read it.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was very strange.
How much fun was it living with a talented guy like Bob Denver?
It was a lot of fun. He was, he was probably different. Well, he was very different in real life than one would think. He didn't, you know, get hit in the head with coconuts, and he didn't fall out of hammocks. And
can I address the rumor as far as what I heard about you guys that you guys enjoyed your your little cannabis action every now and then, right?
I knew you were going
to
bring.
Well, I have to because it's the thing about Gilligan. I mean Bob Denver, and you're in this too, Dreema. You know, the fact is you heard about this. They're up in a commune in West Virginia and they're smoking weed.
We are not in a commune.
Okay. All right. Clear the record for us.
In a beautiful home. Mm-hmm. It happened. Yes, it happened 10 years ago.
Right.
Which is pretty much ancient history when you get right down to it.
Right. Long ago in another jurisdiction.
That's right. Bob didn't really talk about it at the time all of that. But I got to tell you, now seriously, guys, if you were stranded on an island for 3 years wearing a red shirt and a white hat, wouldn't you want to do something to take your head off?
To go out, seriously, when he had to go to the conventions and he had to be Gilligan and he had to do that on radio shows and he got the same questions that he would get all the time. I'm sure I asked a couple of them.
Sure.
Well, because I think we had him on this show at one point or
more
another.
More than once.
We had him more than once on the show. I would imagine that, a little fatty before you're going to go on the show, it relaxes and centers him. What did you think of that horrible reality show where they tried to recreate Gilligan's Island? Did you get any money from that, Dreema?
No. Bob made no money on Gilligan's Island. No.
That's right. Those guys got totally screwed, didn't they?
No, they didn't make. There's never been a residual for Gilligan's Island.
Wow.
It's really, there were times he would, rail against that too, and then you have to sort of just go, well, that's how it ended up. They did, they didn't see all of this coming.
Right.
Videos and syndication and cable.
Did you get a chance to see that? What was? I don't even remember.
The real Gilligan's Island.
The real Gilligan's Island. Island. Oh God!
I can hear Rob there, boy. He knows it all. He is on the ball.
This is Rob's wheelhouse. Rob went to the Virginia Commonwealth University and majored in useless knowledge. That's what he majored.
Well, actually, Dream, I want to do a follow up question about the residuals because obviously there was no money returned on the original show. It ran for 3 seasons.
Three seasons.
Only three seasons. I can't believe it.
But the seasons were longer then, probably like 32 episodes.
They made 33 episodes a year in those days compared to like the.
Look at how proud. Dreamy, you should see how proud Rob is of himself with this.
Now, because he didn't get any money on that, what I really remember is when they started doing the reunion movies and Sherwood Schwartz, who was the producer of the series and also the Brady Bunch, he is a notorious recycler. Now, when he came to Bob Denver.
When you say recycler, like he'll use
the
same
return to Gilligan's Island. He put the Globetrotters on Gilligan's Island.
No, it's bank, right?
Yeah.
Rob, I've got a piece of TV trivia for you.
Cool.
Did you know that I was in Harlem Globetrotters on Gilligan's Island?
I did not know that.
I was.
Very cool. What role did you play?
I played, I don't know if you remember her, Lucinda, Mrs. Howell's social secretary.
Of course.
Southern girl.
God. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Wasn't the Globetrotters on
there are two people that are enjoying this interview right now, ladies and gentlemen.
Sorry. You guys just let Rob and me
go. Go ahead. He's having a good time.
No, wanted to know if Bob was able to sort of stick it to Sherwood Schwartz on those reunion movies and finally get the money he was due to him in any capacity. Because I know Sherwood Schwartz probably made a mint selling these reunion shows to the network.
Rob hasn't been sleeping at night. He's been worrying about this.
And I bless him for that. It aggravates me, too. He was paid well for the time. I don't think anybody could say he stuck it to them.
That's a shame. Because Sherwood Schwartz is probably making another Brady Bunch show even as we speak.
What's the guy's name, the producer? Sherwood Gold?
Sherwood Gold, that's
okay,
right.
Okay, very good.
But Dreamer, isn't this the kind of show you need on Little Buddy Radio?
This kind of show?
Yeah. This show right here.
I mean,
here.
Take me out of the equation. It's the Mike O'Mara show, but you like Rob, so just put us on Little Buddy Radio.
Please do it.
TV trivia, because, it's G-rated, Little Buddy Radio. Does that apply to you guys?
Sure.
Well, the only question I was going to ask you, are you aware, was there ever a porno movie made based on Gilligan's Island?
Yes, there was.
Do you know the title of it by any chance?
There might have been more than one. I know about 10, 12 years ago, a fan who always sent us weird things sent us one. And
do you remember the title?
Remember, no.
We were trying
but I
to...
heard your guesses at the beginning of the show, and I think they're probably better than the real title was.
Probably.
Well, we talk about that kind of stuff. Dreama, I do want to give you a quick chance to plug your foundation. It's the Denver Foundation that honors your son and is dedicated to assisting handicapped, disadvantaged children and their families. Is there any more information we can give about that?
You did a good job. It's just that, that the last 20 years of his life, Bob spent taking care of our son, who is severely autistic. The three of us did that. The two of us did that with Colin. We totally understand what caregivers go through, the frustrations and the challenges. And because of that, we wanted to start the Denver Foundation to try to enhance and enrich the lives of people who are going through this.
Okay.
So that's the main thing. And I have one more thing I want to say to you guys.
Okay, very quick, yes.
Okay. We are having on September the 13th. You guys are within driving distance of the mountains.
Yeah,
right?
We're close to West Virginia. I'd love to go to West Virginia.
Hey, come on, what's going on this side?
We are having a Little Buddy Luau on September the 13th. It's the first annual at this beautiful new venue, Performing Arts Center, that has just opened last week here in Princeton, West Virginia. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have the Parrots of the Caribbean. They're a Jimmy Buffett tribute group.
Yes, sir.
Really, really excellent.
I know. I can already smell the alcohol, too. I know it's a partying group. Parrot heads like to party, Dreamer.
They do like to party. Are you a parrot head? You've got to come.
I'm not a parrot head, but I sure like to party. We party every Friday on this show. If you're ever in the neighborhood in Washington, D.C., you can come by our happy hour Friday, okay?
Love to have you.
Terrific. I would love to.
All right, so when is your event again? It's September 13th?
September the 13th. Anybody from D.C. that wants to come on down, and we'd love to have you guys.
And the book kit, you're still selling the book, Gilligan, Maynard, and Me. It was published a while back, but that's by Bob Denver. It's an autobiography. Anything you want to know about Bob and Maynard G. Krebs and all that good stuff, you can get the book. And the book's still everywhere, right?
No, you can only get it at BobDenver.com.
BobDenver.com. Uh-huh. Go to BobDenver.com and get the book. Dreama, it's been a real pleasure talking to you, and it was fun listening to Rob open up his giant brain with all that trivia.
Yeah, Rob and I got to get together sometime. And
ooh, you will.
Talk about all this.
Sounds like fun. Dreama, good luck to you, and thanks for coming on the show.
And thank you for having me.
Okay, we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Dreama.
You know, that was okay. You made that okay because I know you got into it.
Very
you
nice.
Liked that.
I love Gilligan's Island,
you
man.
Incredibly tragic person, Hugh. Where do you get it? He's 100. I understand that he he watches the shows. I'm 49. I don't remember who the hell Maynard G. Krebs
rent
was.
Rent a flipping DVD. This is a great
show. I don't rent old shows on DVD. I go
you
to my
should.
Cable guide. I see what's on that night, and if it's like it, but they don't show Gilligan's Island.
No, I think you can still catch Gilligan's Island on TBS.
Yeah. You will sit down. Rob, I swear to God, I know you love TV. I cannot imagine.
It's the
imagine
best. TV doesn't let you down.
An old television
it's
show.
It's an iconic show. It really is.
But watching, you know, if it was on and it was there and I couldn't avoid it, I might check it out. But the idea of going out and buying a DVD.
Oh, you know what? That's I've never bought a Gilligan's Island DVD, but I'm inspired now.
Are you going to go get
I want
one
the
now?
Episode. This is a great one. This is my favorite one.
Oh, God.
Of course, you know, they're stuck on an island. And
yes,
who watches
they
up
are.
On
they,
shore?
Who watches up?
Great record, I'm sorry, great movie producer Harold Hecuba, who is played by Phil Silvers.
Oh, really?
Now, Phil Silvers puts on a musical version of Macbeth or Hamlet. I can't remember which
Jesus
one.
Christ.
It's magnificent.
I'm sure.
Oh, my God.
Wait till you see it.
I hope we have...
I'll burn your copy.
I hope we have listeners at this point. Ladies and gentlemen, when we come back, we will have our very first Hollywood Buzz. And, well, you demanded it. And we're going to see about getting the water cooler brought back
yes!
in here, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, we listen to our program director and the things that he loves. We'll be back with more fun right after this.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.